Kareem, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, live on Christian Radio, 1220 AM, as well as on WHKWradio.com. This is John Bartlett, your co-host, along with Sheila Crawford, minister, teacher, and ongoing student of God's Word. And we are really glad you decided to join us tonight as we discuss the new Jesuit Pope tonight. But first, we want to ask God to be with us and bestow His wisdom on His servants tonight. And Father, we just want to lift up any Catholics tonight who might be listening. Lift them up to You, Lord. Soften their hearts, the soil. Soften the soil of their hearts. And all those personal prayer requests that have come in this month, Lord, honor those. We know that we can't name each individual one, but we know that You know who they are, and You know what their needs are.
Yeah.
And also want to lift up families that are being attacked by the enemy, physically and on a supernatural level.
Thank You,
Lord, that You would just, that these folks would get the victory in their lives. And to all, Lord, that are tuned in and listening right now, Lord, may You just be mindful of their specific needs, and most importantly, speak to the hearts of their unsaved loved ones and open their eyes to see Your cross of salvation. And we thank You for providing the funds for this program to remain on the air another week to speak the truth. Very pertinent to these last days. And in the name of Yeshua, amen.
Amen, and shalom to you as well. It's been quite a ride so far this year, wouldn't you say, John?
Oh, yeah, Sheila, I am so glad, in light of what is happening, that you were obedient and began teaching back in January on the roots of Babylon and how this paganism infiltrated the church, totally changing it into an empire. And we know this is going to happen again right after the rapture.
You're right. You know, starting back in January, we began looking at the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3. But we really emphasized and honed in on that church at Pergamos, where paganism really took a foothold. And then it flourished in Thyatira, these of the Nicolaitans in particular, which, as we pointed out, it's still here today. And it is the Catholic Church. Evidence has pretty much shown that. And as you just said, we're getting ready to, once again, go into that one world church. It is actually so remarkable to see what once was an establishment of only the Catholic Church can save you, which is how I grew up, to now they say all religions, with the Pope as the head, can get you to heaven. And there is hardly any outcry from Catholics about this, which to me makes me think that they really don't know their Bible, as I never did.
Oh, that's true. You know, that comedian Catherine Madigan, she says Catholics don't read the... She's Catholic. She says Catholics don't read the Bible. They read the bulletin.
That's right. And I didn't read my Bible either, so I understand where they're coming from. And I sympathize with that. So those that are leaving and joining the Church of Philadelphia, which we also discussed, I say kudos to you and enjoy your adventure.
Wow. And if you can, listeners, you can go to shofarministries.net anytime to listen to any of our past programs and get caught up on this.
And it's free.
Yeah.
24/7. Can't sleep in the middle of the night?
Right.
Go and start a Bible study.
Yeah. And, of course, you know, we started this back in January, and I know you had no idea, I had no idea, that the Pope would resign, and putting this right on the front page, what we've been talking about.
I was just amazed. I certainly didn't know, and I hadn't read that book, Petrus Romanus, who thought, the book said that they thought would definitely, the Pope would resign, and, of course, they were right. But God did put it in my heart to teach on this, and boy, I've learned so much, more than I ever knew about my past religion, and I held that so dear for so long. Anyhow, with that said, this research that I've done has enabled me to spend much more time talking to you and sharing with you what I've learned. Now, we've only touched on the Jesuits, because, honestly, as we've already said, I never thought the next pope could ever turn out to be a Jesuit, because it's really unheard of.
Yeah, pretty far-fetched.
Yeah, being that the Jesuits primarily answer to the Pope, or certainly started out that way, as we'll explain in a few moments.
Yeah, and I think you did spark some interest, and it's surely obvious that God wanted you to be more equipped with this knowledge, so you wouldn't have to cram it all in less than a week, you
Can
know?
Can you imagine? My head's already exploding, let alone having to do it in less than a week.
Well, I thought for sure that, you know, this program took this turn, and I wasn't sure if I wanted to go with it because I'm not a former Catholic, and I don't know too much about it, but it's getting more interesting by the week.
It is very interesting.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
But I do praise God for that nudge that he gave me way back in December. So tonight we will delve a little deeper, because now there is a Jesuit pope sitting on the throne of what the Catholics do call the seat of Peter, which is the official title of all the popes, actually.
Oh, okay. So that is a name that they'll all take. Well, once again, listener, you can go back to the archives at shofarministries.net to listen to any of our past programs. The phone lines are open. If you'd like to comment on tonight's program or you have an end time question, you can call us, because we're live here at WHK. It's 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-WORD. And before we get started, I do want to mention that Sheila will be speaking out at Lakeshore Assembly of God. That's in Mentor, and that's this Thursday at 7 p.m. How about that?
How about that?
Well, I hear the shofar, and that means that we've got some news from Israel, doesn't it?
We do. As you know, I mentioned this before, it has not been an easy task for Prime Minister Netanyahu to form his new government. But he did, and it's very diverse, just in time for Obama's visit tomorrow. You know how our government can't come to much agreement on key issues lately?
Are you sure about that? You think?
Well, I see that happening in Israel as well, especially on the subject of Iran, which means nothing much is probably going to get done on that.
So as it is here.
Yeah. But there will be some changes, like no one, for instance, will be exempt from serving in the military at least 2 years.
Hmm.
Although, if you study the Bible, you can postpone your time from the age of 18 to 21 if you're studying, like, in a yeshiva.
Yeah, and I know the ultra-Orthodox are not happy with it.
They are not happy.
Mm-mm. Not with that.
Mm. Because they were exempt from any military.
Yeah.
So. But you can expect some strife, and we'll probably be reporting on that through the weeks. But many are saying that it will actually be very hard to keep that coalition together, and if enough get mad because they can't have their way and quit, it could pull the government down, and then they'd have to go to another elections. So we'll see how that goes. Anyhow, as I said last week, Barack Obama will not agree to a meeting with its new government, only to give a speech to mostly the younger college students.
Well, there's no surprise there, because that's usually how it goes.
No, and he's very good at that.
Mm-hmm.
Hamas told him that he couldn't go on the Temple Mount, so he won't.
Yeah. What's new?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He will meet with Bibi, though, or Netanyahu, and President Peres, who's 90 now, I think. He's 90, isn't he?
Doesn't look 90. I see pictures of him all the time. He's very looking well for that age.
For 90, yeah.
Yeah.
And I wish that I wouldn't mind being privy to those discussions.
Oh, yeah.
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 But nobody will. We'll hear only what they want us to know.
I was thinking of hiring a fly to go on the wall and come back and give us a report. If you could fly all the way back, I don't know. You'd probably have to hitch a ride on an airplane.
I know. I almost said that expression, I'd like to be a fly on the wall, but, you know, I realized that I don't want to be a fly.
You don't want to be a fly, do you?
So I didn't say that.
Well, that's why I thought it'd be a good idea.
Thank you for saying that.
It would be a good idea just to hire our own fly to go
over
there. Yeah.
Oh, boy. But I am sure that Barack Obama will make certain demands more clear for Bibi, you know, like no more building in the West Bank, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it is scheduled that Barack Obama does visit the Holocaust Memorial, and that's a nice thing.
Well, he did that before.
Before he was president, yes, he did.
Yeah.
And, well, he's got to lay a wreath and that. And he'll go to the museum to view the Dead Sea Scrolls. I don't think he's done that yet. Mm. And then, of course, he'll go to Bethlehem's Church of Nativity, which is now controlled by the Palestinians. It's one of those areas that in Bethlehem that the Jews gave away.
Yeah.
Therefore, he probably will meet up with the Palestinian leader, Mahmoud, I think it is, Abbas.
Mm-hmm.
But I can assure you that Barack Obama will not be visiting the Golan Heights. That's right next to Syria.
Well, that's a little too dangerous up there, right?
It's very dangerous now because it said they are using chemical warfare,
mm-hmm.
and especially in Homs, which is a city north of Damascus. Although they're blaming it on the rebels, and they're saying, well, they must have got a hold of some rockets with chemical warheads. Now, that could be possible. I'm not mm-hmm. saying it's not. I'm certainly not there. But either way, it's not a good thing. People are getting, severely ill, going to hospitals, choking, all that stuff.
Oh, bad.
So it should bring in the international community.
Even the UN and
all of them, some allies, whatever.
Oh, well, that's always a nail biter over there, it seems like, every other week. But we need to get going, and since, Passover begins next week.
Really?
Yeah. And we want to focus next Tuesday's program on the fulfilled spring feasts. Who fulfilled them? Why? Jesus did, of course. And we are going to skip the break tonight to give you as much information as we can fit into this program on Rome's new pope.
Right.
Because it is so pertinent. That's the word you like to use.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. But there are volumes of historical information out there. Very reliable sources, by the way. And I think that's what took me so much time, because as I was doing my research, I wanted to go then and get confirmation. I didn't want to just use one source. So what I'm telling you has gotten it. I have gotten confirmation on it, but I still implore you to do your own homework.
You were glued to your office chair pretty much all week.
I
was going to go in and pop in and say hi, but you looked so busy.
I've just been reading and reading. Oh, my goodness gracious. Some of it very enlightening, that's for sure. But you talk about reading an intense novel. This history is.
Really?
I mean, it's just, I have no words to explain it. But anyway, I can only stir you up, okay? Mm-hmm. Because I'm not an expert at this history. I can only tell you what I've learned. And some of you are going to get angry at us, especially if you are Catholic and you just happen to be tuning in. Like our caller last week, and Kevin, if you're listening tonight, I want to tell you one more time that we have been praying for you. I pray for you every single day, and I want you to know that anger often comes first, as it did with me. And then I had to face the pride issue of being somewhat deceived. But once humility comes, then you are so grateful that you were presented with the truth.
Yeah, and then you can move and be born again into the real truth of God's Word.
Amen. Mm-hmm. So, anyhow, those of you that have been faithful listeners probably agree by now that Mystery Babylon of Revelation 17 and 18 is the Roman Catholic Church.
Yeah, I think you have pretty much made that point and established that.
I think so.
Yeah.
Then, again, when we saw in February that the Pope Benedict resigned, we looked at an extra-biblical, okay, so you have to use discernment, but it's extra-biblical, but pretty accurate prophecy of the future popes by a very pious Archbishop Malachy way back in the 12th century.
Who was Irish, by the way, and
that was
before the Reformation.
Before the Reformation, that's right, who minimally described each pope from Malachy's time of his vision to the last pope.
And you give him a lot of credit, though, because it was before the Reformation, don't you?
Yes, I do.
And why is that? Because you think that the Catholic Church actually had more really true believers in it at that point?
Well, if you read Revelation 3 and you see the Church of Thyatira,
right,
you see that it definitely says, that there was some that hadn't.
Oh, I see. And he was one of those, probably.
I'm hoping.
Yeah.
And again, he was very pious, and from what I understand,
he
was a good guy.
Yeah,
and we know that after the Bible, that on occasion God does give words of knowledge and visions.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So we can't dismiss it.
No, we can't.
Okay. Now, there's some things that I can dismiss, like the apparitions of Mary, at Fatima. That's definitely demonic. So,
And we're not denying they exist. We're saying they do exist.
They
do exist, and they are demonic.
Right, and that's why you need discernment. And how do we get discernment, John?
Well, we get it through God's Word by studying it, reading it, chewing on it, looking up the words that we don't know, looking up all the references, getting into the Strong's Concordance. You know what I'm saying.
Actually, I believe that there's no other way to have discernment unless you study your Bible. But anyway, we also mentioned that there was some speculation that someone else might have added number 112, or the last Pope, Peter Romanus, in the 16th century. Okay, so this would be like 400 years later. That would see the judgment of Rome. So, don't know for sure. Maybe so. Either way, though, Benedict would have been the final one before the one many feel will be the false prophet. This one, possibly. And, of course, that will literally bring in Jesus at the end of the tribulation to set up his kingdom right here on earth.
Yeah. Oh, well. And, of course, this pope is a very present one now. He's very popular.
Very, very popular. Yeah, yeah. Yes, everyone likes him. And that's what he would want. So, actually, in my mind, you don't even need St. Malachy's prophecy when you know God's word. Due to all the other signs that have occurred and are about to happen, like the one I taught when we read Joel, Prophet Joel, and particularly chapter 2, where he prophesied that there would be a blood moon before the tribulation and another blood moon later. And Revelation confirms that as well. So,
yeah, we should all be very aware that we are living in the last days. And this pope has seems like he's gone out of his way to present a very friendly life or lifestyle. And rides the bicycle. He's not afraid to go among the common people.
That's
The common people like him. And, and that's he just may be the false prophet.
Right, because that's what he would have to do. Is to
gain respect.
So that they'll do what he tells them to do when the Antichrist comes along.
Well, we don't know that.
No one knows
for sure.
I just want to make sure that you understand, and I'm not saying for sure, okay? We're just adding, you know, putting the dots together, so to speak. If we are in the last days, though, then he probably is. Let's just put it that way. So God always, of course, wants us to have that element of surprise, you know. And God did say, though, in his word in Hebrews 10, to encourage one another. And even more so as we see
that day approaching.
And I see it, don't you, John?
I see it too. Remarkably, this is, I know many of our listeners want to know what you think about the Pope taking the name of Francis instead of Peter. Because remember last week we said, his name isn't Peter, or isn't, he didn't take the Peter name. Although I remember, you know, you said it wasn't. It wouldn't be totally necessary for him to do that.
Well,
right?
And
he would keep it kind of like under wraps.
I find it a little surprising for him to come right out and say he's taking the name of Peter.
Because that would just tip his hand, wouldn't it? Everyone.
Well,
would
not
know.
Only that, it would just be too obvious.
Yeah.
Okay. So I had a feeling that that would come later. You know, because he can always take that name later. But it is a title.
It you said
title
it was a title.
Of every single pope. It's called the Seat of Peter. So it's kind of that anyway. But. I think you might enjoy this next little thing I'm going to tell you.
Got another little tidbit to add to that?
Yeah, I think I'll tell you now.
Okay.
When Obama congratulated the new pope later that same day, he even said, "Welcome to the seat of Peter."
Wow.
Which I thought was pretty remarkable, being that you know he wasn't Catholic or anything.
Yeah, and others say that Peter the Roman actually is a more
like
of a title.
Like we were saying, it's more of a title, right?
Yeah.
But I do think it very interesting that the name he did take of Francis, after Francis of Assisi, had as his middle name Peter.
So St. Francis of Assisi had...
middle name
of
Pietro.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
He was Italian. So you can do what you want with that little bit of information, but I can see why they might want to hide that fact for now. But again, after the rapture, a lot's going to change. And,
quickly.
And I would bet he will be called Pope Peter at some point, not just of Roman, but of the whole world.
Yeah, I go along with that.
So, only time will tell.
Only time will tell.
I do actually think it much more amazing now. That he would, that he's a Jesuit. Now, I'm telling you what, I would have never in a million years thought that. So I'll say I don't know at all.
You don't?
No.
You're sure about that?
But I'm not saying that all Jesuits are bad. Don't misunderstand me. When they first come in and we have a friend that actually...
A former
Jesuit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And he did get out. But I'm not going to say that everybody is because I don't know everybody. However, I do want you to know that there are different levels of Jesuits. And there's low-level Jesuits, and then there's the highest-level Jesuit. I believe it's a level 4. But you can't first of all, you can't even be a first level or a second level, maybe it is, until you've been there 15 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there's a lot of study involved. And they look you over carefully, and they handpick the ones that they want to go on to a higher level. Now, to be a fourth level Jesuit, which I believe our new Pope is, you have to be a Jesuit for 35 years. Now, once again, there are volumes written about this and the Vatican and all the other societies, secret and not secret. But I have to tell you, somewhere lurking in the background is a Jesuit. Hmm. And that's what I was so shocked. And so much so that I'm not even going to tell you everything because you really will think I'm crazy. So I implore you to do your own homework.
Mm-hmm.
But when I did realize how much control that they have over so many areas, not only was I shocked, I realized that a lot of it is undercover.
Yeah.
But once you have this knowledge, you can easily see how the harlot women of Revelation 17 and 18, Mystery Babylon, has got to be Rome and the Vatican. So this society of Jesu,
I believe they call it.
The Jesuits was formed to counter the Reformation, Protestant Reformation, because the Catholic Church called them heretics, and they should either convert or they should die.
Mm-hmm.
So after 15 years of brainwashing, I'll call it that, the Jesuits had to listen to the standard proclamation from their indoctrinators just prior to their taking the Jesuit oath. And I know we've read this before.
You're going to make me read it again?
Well, it's just because pay attention to every word.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very meaningful. And I have to tell you and remind you, every Jesuit will be taking their oath and listening to this.
Yes,
they won't take the oath without agreeing to what now is just about to be said by John.
Okay, and keep in mind that, you know, and the Lord knows my heart, I don't mean any of these things I'm saying.
That's
I'm
right.
just reading them for your benefit.
That's
because
right.
We can't put it on the screen because this is radio.
That's right.
So here we go. You have received all your instructions heretofore as a novice and have served as co-adjurer, confessor, and priest, but you have not yet been invested with all that is necessary to command in the army of Loyola in the service of the Pope. You must serve at the proper time as the instrument and executioner.
Executioner.
As directed by your superiors, for none can command here who has not consecrated his labors with the blood of the heretic. For,
can you just say that one more time? Because that is
for none
awful.
For none can command here who has not consecrated his labors with the blood of the heretic. And then they use this verse that bugs me out of context.
They take it out of Scripture.
Yeah, out of Hebrews.
Just what the enemy does.
Yeah, yep. Without the shedding of blood, no man can be saved.
Wow.
Okay, and I'm going to continue to quote this. Therefore, to fit yourselves for your work and make your own salvation sure, you will, in addition to your former oath of obedience to your order and allegiance to the Pope, repeat after me. And then they do the actual.
So they do a lot of swearing-ins and oaths and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But they actually continued where the Crusaders left off.
Mm-hmm.
Only now they were going to go underground, okay, covertly. Many would change their identities after they get their 15 years in and enter into the Protestant seminaries and pastor churches, teaching that the Bible is more of an allegory, prophecy is not profitable, and that Jesus either isn't coming back to earth or it won't be in their lifetime.
Hmm.
So it is in most of the mainline Protestant churches today still, this kind of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think they'll have any problem in joining up as part of that evangelical and Catholics together movement, when the true believers are removed. And that's us. That's why we have to leave.
And that's why we have to tell you this, listener. This is important information.
I have to. God told me to, more or less. I must tell you, however, that millions were killed and tortured during the Dark Ages and even after, under the Pope's edicts, somewhere in the area of, they're estimating, 60 million.
I believe it.
Yeah, so that's a lot more than even the Holocaust.
And they're finding the Holocaust is a lot more extensive than originally thought, too.
Yes,
so, again, we're saying this stuff, but, please, you can research this stuff, And Acts 17:11 is our disclaimer, where it's, Paul's commending the Bereans because they look up everything he says.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do that for us.
That's right.
Yeah, same thing.
And it just makes total sense now when you read in Revelation, especially 17:6, which I'm going to ask you to read in a minute. Where it talks about the woman was drunk with the blood of the saints because they have to shed blood in order to be a Jesuit.
That matches.
And if you renounce your Jesuit oath, then you have to leave the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
So when the Pope says he's a Jesuit, and most people don't realize what I just shared with you, that sparks a lot in my mind.
No doubt.
Why don't you read that?
Okay, this is Revelation 17, verse 6. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement.
Yeah.
Hmm. So there's a lot of blood shed by this organization.
That's right. Now, the actual oath that they will take, now again, what he read to you was what they have to listen to just before they take the oath.
Mm-hmm.
But the actual oath that they take is kind of long, but you can find it on the web. It's all this information. I mean, we are so blessed to just be able to do a few clicks, not have to put on our boots and go to the library and start looking through books.
Yeah.
Just search what you want to know, and there it is. I mean, are we blessed to live in this day? Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. The internet's a double-edged sword, though.
Of course, you have to be wise.
Yes, you do.
And how are you wise, John?
By staying in your word. And I've heard that question somewhere before. I'm trying to think of where, but you have
just
to.
Just in case somebody forgets.
Okay. You have to stay in God's word. You have to be in it every day, actually.
That's right. It is your armor.
Yeah, it's your armor.
That's right. But anyway, this oath does include that they swear to be obedient for the cause, including killing, torturing, the spilling of blood. In fact, it's a requirement to succeed up the ladder to level 4, the highest level.
Mm, they have to shed blood to get there.
That's right.
Mm.
But they act very sincere. But these are the wolves in sheep's clothing that God warned us about. I just never thought it would be this sinister. I really didn't.
Yeah.
But anyhow, let's do a little more history here. In order to stamp out the spiritual rebellion of the Reformation in the early 1500s, and in fact, I think it was 1517, and we talked about that with the Church of Sardis. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
The Reformation Church?
Yeah.
This was Pope Paul III. He ordered Ignatius de Loyola, who was a Spanish knight, so he was a fighter, and a theologian, to found the Order of the Jesuits, which would act as the intelligentsia and the secret militia of the Vatican.
Now, would that make this guy, was he a conquistador, do you think?
I don't know what that is.
Well, they were known for their bloody assaults on people.
You're a guy, so you would know more than
okay.
More than I would on that. But,
yeah. If he was very skilled in the art of
Spanish
using the
knight,
sword.
Yeah, I guess
yeah,
so.
Yeah, very skilled, yeah.
Now, Loyola, I'm not so good at saying that. anyway, he communed with demon spirits, had already founded the first occult Illuminati. It was called the Alumbrados.
Mm-hmm, that's pretty good.
Meaning the enlightened ones, which he then placed under the umbrella of the Vatican. Now, this secret satanic organization later in the 1700s, became the most important branch of the Jesuit order, controlling the world economy, international banking, military forces, witchcraft, they dabble in witchcraft, and the world religious cults like Freemasons, and there you have those levels again.
Oh, yeah.
Even the Mormons, they had a hand in the Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, and many others, and again, these were all demonic, but it was to serve the interests of the Vatican, so to have less people in true Christianity, staging many campaigns throughout Europe of Bible-believing Christians. So when God tells us in the Bible that we do not war against flesh and blood, but principalities of the air, this is it.
Wow.
This is the demonic forces that Bible-believing Christians have to fight. It's war.
You were saying earlier that you really think that this world is controlled a lot more than we think it is by the enemy.
Yeah. Thank God that a born-again Christian does not have to worry about being taken over or overcome by the enemy. As long as we're saved, we have Jesus inside of us. Just use the power that you have through the word. If you feel you're being tempted, just rebuke it and go on.
I feel like I get attacked sometimes.
Of course we do.
And I really do.
As soon as you recognize it, come against it.
Mm-hmm.
And in the name of Jesus, they have to leave. They have to. But we forget to do that. So, anyway.
Well, sometimes I wonder if I cast out a demon, I can't be casting myself out there sometimes.
You don't have a demon inside of you, but you can get tempted and you can get oppressed. Okay, let's clear that up.
Okay.
But even later in the 1900s, the Federal Reserve Bank was covertly started by the Jesuits. And I could tell you a whole bunch of stuff about the Titanic.
No.
I'm not going to go there because I don't know if you'll believe me. So do your own homework again. But they did use witchcraft, meditation, trances, hypnosis, whatever they could do to infiltrate all areas, even Hollywood, to try to destroy the Bible-believing Protestant church, making us, you and me, John, look like fanatics and crazies to believe the Bible.
Well, they've done a very good job.
Yeah. People do think we're crazy.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah,
they do. And we've got, we'll find out.
Yeah, you that one of those Bible thumpers?
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Exactly.
But anyway, do you remember Jim Jones?
Of course I do. The Jonestown Massacre.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, he was a powerful warlock and a well-trained Jesuit. Nobody knows that. He intended to brand all fundamentalists as murderous fanatics. So despite his Jesuit background, the media portrayed Jones as a crazy Bible-believing fundamentalist, hence casting aspersions on true Christians everywhere.
But he drank the Kool-Aid too, didn't he?
Yes,
and he died.
Well, they will do that.
Really?
Yes.
They will. Oh, that's sort of like...
If they're told to, they will do that.
So they're like kamikazes and suicide bombers and the whole...
The Jesuits take their order from their general, still to this day, and he's called, actually, the Black Pope.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's the mysterious man behind the Roman White Pope, believe it or not.
So is it the Black Pope now that has the ultimate power of the Vatican?
Well, that's what is so... I'm not so sure, because... Being that he is a Jesuit and he always had to follow what the Black Pope told him, but they were always loyal to the Roman White Pope, so I think they're just going to work it out together. That's about all I can imagine.
Well, there's some that say President Lincoln's assassination was orchestrated by the Jesuits. There's that theories out there, right?
Yes, and he was actually assassinated on Good Friday.
Now, why?
Well, I think they were just trying to say, Christ said on Friday, so you're going to die too. I don't know. But actually, there's a couple reasons why the Jesuits were behind his assassination. So I've read, okay?
Okay.
First of all, while Abraham Lincoln was a lawyer, he defended a man called Charles Chiniquy, and he was a former priest who left the Catholic Church and wrote a book. And the book was entitled 50 Years in the Church of Rome.
Uh-oh.
So right there, you ought to know that they're not going to be happy with
him. He's in trouble.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he became the target of repeated Vatican attacks, even taking him to court for slander and anything else they could think of. However, Lincoln won the case. He stood up and was really successful in that, which did not make the Catholic Church very happy either. So... The other reason would be for foiling the Confederacy in the Civil War. Now, this is what I read. I can only tell you, if you need to do it again, do your own homework. But What I found out was that it was a Jesuit engineered.
What, the Civil War?
Yes. Vatican-backed plot to destroy the United States. For after Lincoln won the Civil War, then the Vatican exacted its revenge because it was very mad about that. It was highly involved in the slave trade. Now, if you don't believe me, look up what John Paul II, in 2001, when in Africa, he actually apologized for the church's involvement in the slave trade.
So
I'm not making that up.
And they have to, you know, that was an extensive involvement if the Pope apologizes for it.
That's right.
And even though they apologized like 300 years later, it's still huge.
So they did not want the slavery to end. So hence they started the Civil War, or was behind it. I'm not going to say they started it. They were behind coercing it. But the thing about it is, when they killed Abraham Lincoln by John Wilkes Booth, he was a staunch Catholic.
Now, you don't hear that too often.
And he wore a medal of the Virgin Mary around his neck.
Wow.
So, again, I'm just putting out the facts. You decide. Look it up. Check it out.
Well, next thing you're going to tell me, the Ku Klux Klan is a...
How did you know?
I just see where you're going.
I know. It sounds so incredible. But, yeah, following their failure in the Civil War... It was an effort to prejudice African Americans and liberal whites against Protestantism.
But doesn't that go against their interest in a way?
What do you mean?
Well, against Protestants. Seems like, interesting.
But basically, the Jesuits are definitely a negative PR organization.
Wow.
Yeah. But wasn't the Protestants, they say, behind the Ku Klux Klan?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's why.
Oh, I see. So here we go again.
Appear that way.
Bad PR for
Bible-believing
Christians. Ah, gotcha. And of course, now when you see that in films and things like that, you see a big connection between Bible-believing Christians and the Ku Klux Klan. So you're saying the Jesuits, that's one of their operations.
That's right.
Successful one.
That's right.
That's scary.
And you notice how they had the cross, not the crucifix.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
They also played a large part, I'm told, in World War I. They actually backed Kaiser Wilhelm, asking the Roman Catholics to get into the war, tried to destroy the Eastern Orthodox, of course, because they weren't real happy with them, in the Balkans because they broke away from Rome. That was many years earlier.
And, of course, the devil, Satan, he likes wars because people die. And if he can get more people into hell, you know.
That's right. Oh, my gosh, we're running out of time, and I want to get so much more in, and I don't know that we can, but the communism and Russian Revolution, the Vatican always hated the Russians because the Tsars protected the breakaway Eastern Orthodox Church. So I read that in the early 1900s, the Jesuits coached Karl Marx and Engels to write the Communist Manifesto to spread dissent among the Russian working class. And it was bankrolled by the Illuminati, and of course that was started by the Jesuits as well, in order to create another power loyal to the Vatican, but yet no one would know that, okay? But once the Tsar had been overthrown especially, and that did happen, but to make a long story short, the communists turned on the Vatican at a later date for a lot of gold that they had found in Russia originally from Rome, and cease the extermination of the Orthodox leaders. So this did not make them happy. The Pope was outraged and vowed revenge on the turncoat communists and the remnants of the Orthodox Church. So then the crafty Jesuits began to plan World War II. And about this time, Satan decided to send the apparition of Mary to Fatima to encourage the Catholic Church, Rome, that communism is indeed evil and must be destroyed. Now, and that's exactly what the third secret is. She told them that, Russia is going to be converted to Catholicism. Okay, so the Pope felt that he had to help that along.
I see.
And the Vatican has always wanted a throne in the Holy Land, so they felt they had to destroy the Jews as well.
Wow. Well,
but just before World War II, Germany was suffering a Great Depression. So in order to exterminate the Jews and get revenge on the Russians for the communist debacle, Jesuits arranged for pro-Catholic Jews to buy up land from the ruined Germans, and this, of course, stirred up anti-Jewish resentment. So they started hating the Jews.
Wow.
I mean, so strategic to see how the enemy works. He's sly.
Well, if you weren't calling them the Jesuits, I would call them the CIA or something like that.
Yeah, well, I think they had a hand in that as well.
Oh, here we go.
I don't remember. It might be in my notes somewhere if we ever get to it. But, yeah, they're behind so much. But anyway, meanwhile, communist movements were springing up in Italy. So the Vatican put Mussolini, remember him, in power.
Don't tell me now that he was under the guidance of the Jesuits, too.
He declared Roman Catholicism the official religion of Italy.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And restored the Pope's temporal political power over the nation.
And, of course, that's going to happen again?
Yes.
You think it'll happen again?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, the woman rides the beast?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But back in Germany, the Jesuits moved to destroy the Weimar Republic because it was democratic. And two things the Vatican despises is Protestantism and democracy.
Mm-hmm.
So a Jesuit named Stempfel. He's actually the one who wrote Mein Kampf for Adolf Hitler.
Yeah, Hitler didn't write that all himself, of course.
No, he only signed it, I understand.
Yeah.
But the Jesuits were grooming Adolf Hitler for power. Did you ever read Mein Kampf?
No, I didn't.
I started to
read it a couple of times, but it's so repulsive that I can't finish. I can't get more than a few pages.
Well, that was the book.
Now, I know this book was the master plan of the Jesuits.
That's right, the master plan
for Hitler's takeover of Germany.
That's right.
And definitely that worked for him.
So Hitler's brown shirts rose to power, and the Vatican backed him, giving him the Masonic swastika as a national symbol. Rome signed a concordat with Hitler in 1933, officially recognizing Nazi Germany. And the Vatican put Franco in control of Spain, squashing communist uprisings in the process.
Hmm.
So in Germany, Roman Catholic Germans infiltrated the mainline Protestant churches, spreading anti-Jewish sentiment in order to ensure that the Jews would blame Protestants, not Catholics, for the coming Holocaust.
Yeah, that's why the Jesuits hid over 1,000 Jews, right, in the catacombs of the Vatican? That was to cover their butts.
That's
in case Hitler lost the war.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, it's better than any novel when I was doing this stuff, even though my head was exploding. It's just amazing.
Yeah, and all you hear about is, oh, they were so good because they hid over 1,000 Jews, while at the same time they were actually promoting the slaughter of them.
That's right.
Yeah, that's really, really subversive and scary. But, you know, it's the enemy, right?
Yeah, exactly. Who do we fight? Not flesh and blood.
Well, in this case, it was.
Yeah, really. World War II raged throughout Europe. And, of course, the Holocaust began, and many Roman Catholic priests went undercover. Roman Catholic priests went undercover and actually wore the black uniforms of the SS and tortured and murdered Jews, eventually the Jesuit-engineered plot failed as well. And Germany surrendered under Allied pressure.
And that's when Hitler committed suicide, we think.
That is, we're pretty sure that's, I don't think he's still alive. Anyway, cleverly, though, the Vatican had backed herself up, causing the world to believe that the church had nothing to do with the war, and the Jesuits made sure that Roman Catholics were persecuted alongside the Jews, and the Roman Catholic Germans hid some Jews in their homes, and this was all for PR. So they would actually have their own Roman Catholics persecuted so they can say, oh, well, Catholics died too.
Well, that sounds like Hamas, doesn't it?
Sure.
That's one of their
tactics.
It's
evil.
Yeah.
It's called satanic, demonic.
Yeah. Well, that's one of Hamas's tactics.
And they have all these little groups, and they're run by the same person, the same entity.
Not surprised.
Yeah.
No, I'm not surprised. I think you've made it. Pretty good point of this Jesuit organization.
Well, I hope so. And, you know I'm telling you a lot of information, but you can check me out. This is going to be on the webpage probably by tomorrow. You can go back and listen. If I've made mistakes and you can show me where I'm wrong, please, I want to know about it because, you know, I'm learning this as well, at least most of it.
I know.
I had no idea it was this intense.
Well, yeah, and I'm really surprised, especially, I hope you can get into it tonight about how they've orchestrated the bad PR, as you call it, the bad press that Bible-believing Christians have had through Hollywood.
Yes.
Are you going to do something on that?
Yes, I will. Actually, I can tell you right now, the Vatican has long been in the movie industry, okay? Hollywood, influenced by, powerful Roman Catholic lobby, furnished us with films like The Song of Bernadette, Going My Way, and a number of exciting films glorifying the Roman Catholic Church.
Hmm.
On the other hand, they pushed movies like Elmer Gantry.
Yeah, that's...
Showing crooked Protestant evangelists.
Right.
And even the television show Dragnet. You'd often see this Christian pictured with a big Bible smiling after he had strangled grandma up in the attic.
So
things like
was,
that.
So what do you call that? A stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
They were creating a stereotype mm-hmm. of the insane Christian with his Bible.
And people believe this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And always the Catholic priests, though, they were well-respected, highly paid, and they were stars like Bing Crosby and Barry Fitzgerald.
Mm-hmm.
You see, we are hit psychologically on many fronts by the Vatican, the leader of the One World Church, and all the world governments.
Yep.
And I just want to say one more thing about the ecumenical movement. This was a Vatican II creation to recognize and eventually subsume all world religions.
Mm.
And the New Age movement are precursors of Satan's One World Religion, controlled by the Pope in preparation for the one world government of the beast as prophesied in the book of Revelation.
Yeah, and that's
really
the ecumenical movement.
That's right. And there was a lot of Protestant
leaders buying into that. Yes, they are. They're buying into it.
So I'm wondering if they're just Jesuits in disguise.
Now here we go. Now you're seeing Jesuits under every look.
Yeah, right, under every rock.
There's one behind the wastebasket, right there in the corner.
All right, I apologize for that.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Where are we? We're somewhere.
Well, let's just remind them about that observatory.
Oh yeah,
that the
We did that last week. It was startling to me because you reported it, and the next thing I saw it was on television,
mm-hmm.
and it was the Jesuits who managed this observatory out in Arizona, a well-known observatory, might add, and they named the telescope Lucifer, and they also say they know there's alien life out there and is coming soon to Earth to be the savior of mankind. I saw these priests actually say that. And they believe it.
Yeah. You know, it's on the web. It's on YouTube. It's all that. You can find it. It's just, it's not that hard.
Yeah.
It's just blasphemy, though, at its finest. Truly it is. And again, I'm only telling you this to let you know what you can expect, that the Pope is a Jesuit. Okay, maybe you can figure out that he's just renounced all that, sure, but I haven't heard him say that. And we have to keep our guard up and is also to tell others to leave the Catholic Church because you don't even need all this information. All you need to know is the Vatican II in paragraph 841 that said all religions can go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
That's enough to leave the Catholic Church. You don't need to know all this other stuff. This is just kind of like icing.
Hmm. Wow.
So there was a man, and I'm going to have to talk real quick, and there was a priest, actually, that I guess was in the Vatican for 25 years,
mm-hmm.
who said the devil lives in the Vatican.
Yes.
Down in the basement, they have these seances and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, there was a story on that in the New York Daily News, front page, on the internet version not too long ago.
Okay.
Yeah, so big stuff coming out, right?
And one more thing about that mitre hat that the Pope wears.
Oh, yeah, the one that looks like the fish.
Well, if you turn sideways, it's the open mouth of a fish,
yes,
and the fish is the god Dagon that they worshipped centuries ago.
Yeah, the Canaanites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is pretty heavy stuff, that's all I know.
Yeah, Well, I'll tell you what, we covered it well tonight. And if you have a question for Sheila, you can, or maybe like her to speak at your church or home group, you can email her at sheila@shofarministries.net or just call her at the office, 440-834-9006. All your donations are greatly appreciated, and they're extremely important to keep this prophecy ministry going. Please pray about helping to sponsor the show for our Ministries Hour. We sure appreciate those of you that do. And you can use PayPal on our webpage or send your gift directly to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. All donations automatically put you on the monthly newsletter. And you can check out the ShofarMinistries.net website, where all the newsletters and previous programs are archived, and Hebraic Roots teaching DVDs. And there are teaching CDs and proving that the pre-trib rapture is a good, you know, is real. So
it's real.
Yeah. if you've never made Jesus Lord over your whole life, or you're wondering what to do, it's easy. You might be one of those people. You know all this. You got all this knowledge now, but you don't really know Him, and He's not really living in your heart. You need that heart conviction. Just get on your knees right now and just repent and confess those sins that are lingering in your life. You don't have to go through any other. You can confess them directly to Him.
That's
because
right.
He's our mediator.
He's the mediator.
Yeah. And then you choose to commit your life to Yeshua, or we call him Yeshua, the Jewish Jesus, or recommit your life. And He is the Messiah of all. Remember, it's always your choice to choose Him. And God sends no one to hell. You decide yourself where you want to go. So you decide, okay?
That's right. Just don't waste your life away because of Jesus' resurrection, which is we're going to be memorializing again soon. You could live forever. And who knows what God can accomplish right now through you.
Okay, let's leave you with the Aaronic blessing. Yevrecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, ya'er Adonai ponav v'lecha v'hunecha, yisa Adonai ponav v'lecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
And
shalom. Please see us out in Manor Thursday.
Lakeshore Assembly. Okay? Till then, shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace
Thanks
of Jerusalem.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the Internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.